Hey everybody, welcome to the Green Architects Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Chris Briley.
I'm your host, Phil Kaplan. Hey, Chris.
Phil, looking good.
Thanks, likewise.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We've got day jobs, you know, we're not professional DJs. Although we sound like it sometimes.
Someday I wish.
Yeah.
Wish I could go back to that.
Yeah, but the pay, I don't think the pay is as good.
No. We do it for fun.
Well, that's what this
satisfaction.
Is.
Just right. That's why we do this. That's kind of why we do our day jobs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we're architects.
So
I woke up this morning, Chris.
Yeah.
1 degree.
I know.
And you know what I thought?
It's cold.
It's cold. Yes. But how many do you need? Can't we all share?
Yeah.
It's one.
Just 1 degree.
Just one.
That's
all.
Let's
all share. You know, one.
Here's your degree.
One world, one love.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about net zero.
Excellent.
Getting to net zero. The
yeah.
challenge and the fun of getting there.
Well, it's about time because we've been gearing up for this with all, you know, everything's kind of, you know, we just did passive house and now this is the next thing. Now that you've got your energy demand down low, you know, maybe you can squeak by. Maybe you can live on this planet from an energy standpoint consuming as much as you make. As in, you have that net zero consumption, which is what the term means. I just blew it. What does it mean, Phil? There it is. Oh, but hey.
Well, it's essentially producing as much energy as you consume over the course of a year. That over the course of the year is very important because in wintertime in Maine, we're going to use a lot of energy. But
yep.
in summertime in Maine, we're going to make a lot of energy. Yep. So it's got to be net zero. It can't be zero across the board.
Right. So there are renewables involved in almost every case. I mean, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
You got to do it with renewables. But before we dig into it,
yeah.
I want to hear about this tasty little drink you made us.
Well, even before the drink.
Before
the drink, there's even more exciting news that I got to share.
Let's pretend we didn't have any of the drink yet. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Right. This drink I have not yet sipped. yeah. Big news, everybody. As some of you probably already know, if you're actually...
drum roll, please, Sheila.
Sheila. Drum roll. That's right. We are now officially part of the Green Building Advisor family. We're on their blog. You know how we kept alluding to the fact that we're going to get our own domain and all that jazz? Well, all that, you know what? We have a nice home at Green Building Advisor, and that is the domain that we love, and we're just going to live there.
We're family.
We're family.
We are family. I got all my building science geeks in me.
And me. Yeah, so listen up, everybody. The old feed, as some of you probably already know, is probably dead at this point. We're recording this in March, so you're probably listening to this at the end of March or very early April,
mm-hmm.
hopefully, if our act is together. If Sheila is nodding at me, like, yeah, we're going to make it happen. Great. So that means... You know, welcome aboard, Phil. So now
it's official.
Yeah, instead of finding us under the Design Matters blog, hey, just go to the Green Architects Lounge
under blogs. We got our own.
That's right. And likewise, we're gonna have our own email address: galounge@greenbuildingadvisor.com. If you want to suggest a topic for Phil and I to cover, you want to tell us how awesome we are. You want to say, hey, what's your address to send this big bottle of whiskey that I've got and this recipe that goes along with it? You email us there.
We'll even pay for postage, won't we?
I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sending me booze?
Yeah.
I'll pay for your postage, and I'll give you a shout-out.
That's right.
Who's your mom? I'll wish her happy birthday on the air.
Happy birthday, Mr. Jameson.
Mr. Jameson, yes. That's a good
That's
segue.
A good, it is.
So, Jameson,
tell us about this tasty, tasty... creamy, luscious.
All right, Mr. Jameson has a lot to do. This. So it's March, Phil.
Yes,
and wanted to do something St. Patrick's-y in Irish.
Aye.
Oh, talk of the morning.
Talk of the morning.
Oh, sorry. Oh no. Did we just? I'm sorry.
This drink used to be called the Dubliner. Is
this
that
was
right?
Yeah. In fact, I set down Mr. Boston's and I Googled St. Patrick's drinks. Or whatever, Irish drinks. And I found, you know, Dale DeGroff, who's a drinks cocktails guru. He's got this great drink called the Dubliner. I got the ingredients. I went to the store, and I'm like, oh, there's no Irish mist. So I called up Phil, and I said, Phil, you're on your way here. Do you pass any liquor stores? No. He's like, I'm in Shaw. I say, I'm in a store right now. What do you need?
How about a grocery? How about I grab some Seagram's?
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happens.
Well, it's a Seagram's Dark Honey.
Yeah, it's Seagram's 7 Dark Honey, which we talked about what is Irish Mist, and I'm like, it's like whiskey, only it's like a honey liqueur kind of secret recipe from Ireland or whatever. He's like, you know, we're like, meh, it's like Irish Mist or whatever. So we got, so we're calling this one, sorry for the long thing, we're calling this one the Irish American. Because we've got it's equal parts Jameson Irish whiskey and this Seagram 7 Dark Honey whatever.
Yeah.
And then
substitute Irish Mist if you like.
Right, exactly. If you do that, then it's a Dubliner. Otherwise, you're making yourself an Irish American. So equal parts of those two. Put it in a cocktail shaker with ice. Get it really cold. Shake, shake, shake. And then you pour it in. And then you do, this is the magic part. We've already whipped up some whipping cream. All you have to do is pour whipping cream in a bowl, whip it up so it's fluffy, so it will float on top. So you
that's
just,
what I did for a half hour before the show.
Yeah, while I was messing with the microphone. Anyway, so then you cheers.
You float it on top. Cheers.
You float it on top, so it looks like a Belgian a little mini Belgian beer. Mm. It
tastes like a little whiskey sundae.
Mm.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does. In fact, it almost tastes like Bailey's in a weird way, but it's different, a little fresher. So that's the Irish American. Sorry to take so long. Thanks for hanging in there. Let's talk about green architecture.
All right, there's the drink. We've got some good new music from Bright Eyes coming up at the end of the show.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's
not from Brooklyn, from Omaha this time, Chris.
Are they really from Omaha?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that, really.
We'll dig into it later.
Okay.
Yes.
And that'll be
It's cold in Omaha.
Is it?
No, I don't know. I've been there once.
I hear the wind comes sweeping down the... No, wait.
Wrong state.
Darn, that's a... All right.
All right, tell me again what net zero is, producing as much energy as you consume over the course of the year, right?
Exactly.
So why do we care? Why are we...
Well, because Phil, you're a tree-hearted spirit. You're a person who wants to tread lightly on this planet, right?
I do.
You're a greenie. Mm-hmm. You're what the conservatives would call a greenie. You're one of them greenies trying to... Not that... I welcome conservatives. I really think, I welcome them to this podcast with my honest, open heart. I really do. Why are you laughing at me? I'm being serious.
Well, no, it's hard to completely skirt the politics issue.
It is.
Because who is the guy you think of when you think of sustainability coming to mainstream?
Oh, crap. You're going to make me assume Al Gore?
That's it.
Yeah.
And what was the big chart? Remember, he got on the little lift and said CO2
yes.
levels are rising.
Yes.
Up. To here. You know,
yeah,
climbed
yeah.
up and...
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
The CO2 levels are nearing, what is it, how many parts per million? It's sort of off the charts now. It's almost like 400 or so.
Yeah.
We're trying to get back to 350.
Right.
350 parts per million, which is really, I found out, that's where we were in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's not that long ago.
No.
We've been off the charts since then. So we just have to kick it back just a little bit.
Right.
So the CO2 issue is one of the reasons why we're doing it.
Yeah, in fact, it drives a lot of this, is just trying to, minimize your consumption. I mean, there's the whole looking into the future, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Oil is going to run out. Our kids are going to be dealing with the fact that cheap oil will be gone. Every house you design, Phil, and that I design, if we did a good job and it's still around when we're dead and gone, I mean... Even in our lifetimes, we'll mm-hmm. probably be renovated to a different mechanical system than whatever you put in now, especially if you're burning fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
If you're burning electricity, there's a chance that that's still going to be using that as the source, but the electricity is going to be made some other way.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's true. And let me get on my soapbox for just a minute now.
Hey,
Chris.
We're already there.
Okay, right on. Okay, so if you're an architect out there, and your client is paying you, $100,000 to not
what?
Or $10,000. You know, there's a lot of
other
fancy schmancy architects out there making a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
But whoever. If you're paying $10,000-$20,000 to your architect,
yeah.
If you got a new home and you paid an architect, and in 5 years you find out that house is obsolete,
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You're gonna pick up the phone.
You're gonna flip out. You're gonna pick up the phone
and find out that architect's in Vegas. with your money. No.
But you are going to be pissed, right? Well, we're there. We're headed there. So if you don't listen to this stuff now, you're being irresponsible to your clients.
That's right. Those big McMansions that are like 5,000 square feet, vinyl-sided, whatever, that spend $5,000 in heating oil
mm-hmm.
Every year, those are going to be massive white elephants on the market that, they're going to get split up and renovated, and you know, mm-hmm. Those are going to be the slums. That's a weird, really weird thing to think about. We're having drinks, so we can, that's what this is all about, this lounge. But talk about stuff like this. So let's get back into the here and now. That's the That's the weird, freaky future from some green perspective. Right. But
it is. But even now, buildings worldwide account for about 40% of our primary energy use.
Yep. Yeah.
And 24% of all greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
40%.
Yeah.
So let's think about this, Chris.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of buildings, Chris?
Oh, we covered this. I am.
You are right there. Yeah. Again, I can't say it enough.
I know.
I love you, man, but...
I know. It's all
And I know
me.
You're on it.
Only I can prevent wasteful energy.
But we are responsible. People listening to this podcast, architects, builders, engineers, mechanical guys, vendors.
Yeah.
This is us. Yeah. We can change the world right here. So that's why net zero, do it now. Don't screw around.
Okay.
So it's been done a bunch of times.
That's right. This is not new. It's not hard. I mean, it's the economics are a struggle there, but...
We're getting closer. We're
exactly.
Getting it easier.
Exactly.
So, I don't know if you remember BedZed. That was one of the first great ones that was really cool looking in the UK. They had those big wind scoops. And great colors, and they were all facing south.
It was very sculptural, those wind scoops were. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I saw photos of those everywhere for about a year and a half.
Yeah,
because
not too many people were doing it. These guys went for it. Zero energy design out of, where are they? They're in Massachusetts somewhere. Stephanie Horowitz.
Oh.
She's done some, her and her group have done some really nice stuff. The Truro House is the one that you're seeing in a lot of magazines now. I know you've seen it.
Yeah.
It's and you're huge expansive glass.
And Phil, you're doing, your first chair on this podcast, because you've summited, you've done it, you've got your own... Net zero.
Yeah, Bright Built Barn. Our first net zero.
Right. It's got, and for those of you, because Phil's not going to do it himself. Phil's an awesome guy. He's got this great little modular, it's not really modular, but it's a...
Benson Wood likes to call it something else, panelized.
Oh, he's gonna get on you for this. But anyway,
Ted. I know I blew it, but it's not prefab and it's not particularly modular.
No, but it's a charming little studio building that has that light skirt that lets you know when it's consuming and when it's saving. Mm-hmm. With the little LED lights. Anyway, so you've done this before, and which is why you're qualified to sit here. I've come close.
You have come close. The Redford House did could be.
Oh yeah, that's so
Chris
close.
Did this really cute looking structure right in Portland, in town, Portland, Maine. Here,
right. The whole goal there was to be lead platinum in town, on the market. Playing against everybody else. In the worst darn housing, climate ever. And sold in a month. So it was like there proof it can be done. So there it is. It's not net zero, but it could be. In fact, with a little work. It could have been net zero, but our goals were a little bit different.
Mm. And we'll talk about this later. I think that net zero ready is in some ways just as good as net zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
sure.
You get everything ready, you get your loads down, and wait for the renewables prices to come down, be more reasonable. That's okay.
Yeah.
That counts in my book. That counts.
That counts in my book. That's sort of like where passive house is going. It's all about energy demand, and you plug in renewables. Yeah. Who cares? That's not a part of the equation. It's about about the demand, and here we're talking. We have the demand, but then we say, whatever's left, we're going to reduce that demand, and then whatever's left, we're going to take care of on site.
Yep.
And that makes us net zero.
That's right. So net zero ready, folks.
Right.
That counts also.
And Michelle Kaufman.
Yeah, she's got a neat little line. Zero series homes.
Yeah.
Is what she's calling them.
You know what? Let's flex our muscles on our newfound GBA muscles. Let's put some more images on this podcast.
Let's do it.
So let's show some of this stuff.
We'll get some of Michelle's stuff out there.
I'm sure she won't mind.
we were actually featured next to her in a story in EcoHome recently that was talking about net zero modular homes.
I probably have that magazine laying around.
Yeah, we're on the back page.
One of these piles.
And Michelle, who I have not met yet, but I'd like to meet someday.
All right, Michelle, drop us a line.
Yeah,
come on up.
Come on, we'll interview you. We'll do a whole podcast.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Hey, Michelle. I mean, Ms. Kaufman? I don't even know. Well, there it goes. We're not, it's now mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. I've already blown it.
All right. So one of the other people who are doing this, and I'm going to step back slightly for a minute before we take a break here, Chris.
Yeah.
I gave a talk last year at the AIA convention,
yeah.
Custom Residential Architects Network
yeah.
in Austin.
Yeah.
Met some great people down there. John Connell, who's done some wonderful modular low energy stuff. He founded Yes Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
cool guy. Get a chance to meet John. You'll mm-hmm. just, the guy glows. Just oh, very okay. cool.
Like a pregnant woman.
Kind only a little smaller.
Okay.
Dale Mulfinger was there. He gave a nice talk. Bill Ayler, one of the principals at Lake Flato.
Lake Flato, right.
Yeah, so he and I got a chance to chat after that. They're working on their own
well, nice.
Version of this. Yeah. So,
do I name drop anybody else? Do you have any? No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
You know, people are doing it, man.
No, I know. Yeah, that's the point is this is...
And they're from different parts of the country, which is really cool.
Right. This
you
is
know,
not
Lake Flato's
like a...
in Texas and
right.
people are coming
unlike
from Seattle.
Passive House that... Well, I don't know. Passive House is picking up, but it's like instead of just like this... This you know one directional from Europe back at us kind of a thing. It's sort of a you know net zero is just I don't know. It seems more amoebic, you know, popping up at, you know everywhere at once kind of a thing.
Yeah. So send us yours.
Send us yours. Are you working on a net zero project? We want to hear from you.
Yeah, especially the pretty ones.
Oh, exact. Oh, in fact,
we are.
Can we say only the pretty ones?
We can edit.
If yeah, if your building's ugly, we don't want to see it. No. All right.
You snob.
All right. Do you want, you know, I don't know if you want to do this now, but, you know, it's been a while since Jesse's vented with us on here. And since we're you know, on our own here at the GBA, you want to bring him in?
I'd love to hear.
All right.
What do you have to say today?
I know. It's just good. Whatever it is, it'll be good. Sheila, let's bring in Jesse. Welcome back, everybody. With us, he hasn't been with us in a long time, Jesse Thompson of Kaplan Thompson. How are you, Jesse?
I'm all right.
We missed you.
Everyone's missed you. We where's Jesse? We hear that a lot. And
yeah.
You've been a busy guy doing your own project
right.
and living. You've been living both worlds.
Right. So correct us if we're wrong, but things have still been bothering you. You just haven't been telling us about.
That's right. I mean, I've just been staying up.
I've
been staying up late at night with them bothering
it's
me.
It's good to share, you know.
Yeah, get it off your chest.
Yeah,
come on, let's hear it.
That's what we're here for.
But you know, you worry. People don't actually want to hear what's actually bothering you.
But here, you have an opportunity. You have an audience who's tuning in just to hear what's bothering you, which is today.
Lumberyards.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We care. And we care about lumberyards.
So
I think we might hate them.
Yeah.
So I'm an architect, and
yes.
I've been pretending to be a general contractor for a little while. I'm not good at it, but I've been working my way through it, and it's been sort of shocking just how unbelievably amateurish and badly organized lumberyards are. And they don't have systems. There's a guy on a phone. So you know the basic way it seems to work with my salesman is that I call him up. And if I'm lucky, he's there. And maybe not. Maybe he calls me back a little while later. And then I tell him what I want over the phone. And he seems to write it down. And then maybe it shows up. But if I want to know how much something costs, I call him up and I ask him how much it costs. And then he gets back to me. And so maybe that's an hour. Maybe it's 6 hours. Maybe it's a day. And then I learn what that thing costs. But that thing's too expensive. So then I have to find out the next thing. And so the next thing. So, you know, meanwhile, I've burned off a day. I don't know how long.
And you just want to find out how much of
handrail
costs.
I just want to, you know, I'm trying to figure out siding. So I'm looking at, what am I looking at? I'm looking at some quarter sawn cedar or some hemlock, and I'm comparing it to red cedar. And, you know, meanwhile, I still have to talk to a guy. And he has to write it down correctly. He has to not make any mistakes. And he has to get back to me.
And you're thinking, like, where's the website where I can browse this and choose it?
Meanwhile, I'm buying a book off Amazon, and I see exactly how much the book costs and how long it's going to take to get me there, and et cetera. So, I mean, I kind of know why they do it. Because it's a salesman. He's trying to sell me things, and he probably gets a commission off how much he sells. But it's crazy. It's so crazy. Considering that I got to think that most small-time contractors order everything at night, they're working off, they're doing their costing at night, they're sitting there, they'd love to know how much a 2x4 is today. Why can't you put your discount code in? You know, enter your code, they know how much your discount is, you find out all the pricing's there.
Yeah.
The next day in the morning. So
that's good.
I mean that sounds simple, right?
That sounds awesome.
That sounds like 1994 internet.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, so
you sure it's not just you didn't wear your I'm an architect t-shirt in again, did you?
Yeah, were you?
I've never been.
You think that contractors
No question. I'm a small guy. My orders are small. I'm not ordering constantly. They don't really care about me. But they shouldn't have to. If you want to give me a 5% discount, that's great. Give me the 5% discount code. Who cares? Just let me know how much things cost.
So you think, you know, get your discount code, put it in, and now you can see what this guy can see or whatever. But he's probably calling somebody else up anyway and then doing sort of like this phone tree. It does sound ancient.
The amount of errors possible are just mind-boggling. I mean, okay, so I email the guy. I don't call him. I email. I write it down. Well, great. I'm at the mercy of how much he cares about me to find out how much it costs. And I still, what if I want to cost out 15 things? He's got to go type into his computer 15 times. I mean, he's going to look at my order and say, I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
This guy's going to place a $500 order and he's asking me to price 15 things. Like, you know, I know I'm at the back of the line. So, yeah. But the thing is, so I'm a small guy. Fine. Yeah. You know, fine. I don't get great service. But imagine if you're a big time. What if you're doing 5 houses at once, 3 houses at once? I mean, is it still the way it works for them too? Or do they just not care? And is that why everything's so expensive? Because it's too hard to figure out how much it costs.
Well, the question you might ask is, you know, what might change if they came up with this system?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'd like to think that in San Jose, California, there's all these fancy internet guys and they have these fancy internet lumber yards. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's sort of like the system's set up. So, like, if you know exactly what you want, you place the order, the guy gives it to you, and all that. But the righteous truth is, buildings never get built that way. It's always like, oh wow, that was too expensive. What can we change? Or, oh, you know, or that's what, 12 weeks out? Yeah. No. And then switch to something else. And
yeah, so
then
the client
changes their mind. And
yeah, so as an architect, I've spent my career, which is, you know, not that old, but fine. I've been doing it for a while. And how many years have people been bitching that architects don't know what things cost? Well, it turns out contractors don't know what things cost either because it's too hard to find out. Because the lumberyards don't want them to know, so
So today it's
lumberyards.
And I would like to say we'd love to hear some feedback on this.
Yeah,
if you're listening, you know, if your guy works at a lumberyard,
and
tell us what's up.
Exactly.
Is it just a sales channel thing where I've got to talk to a guy because the guy's got to make his sales and got to, you know, et cetera? It's like, there's no way you don't sell a lot more things. I mean, 2x4s. I shouldn't have to ask what a 2x4 costs. Right. Yeah, I know it fluctuates every day. Just let me look at it. I'll decide how many I want to buy.
Pull back the curtain. Let you see.
Yeah, or just make it easy for us. We've all got magic cell phones that do all these tricks. Can I get my order through my cell phone? Why have I got to talk to the guy who's not at his desk?
I don't know.
Yeah. Jesse, that's been killing me.
Good stuff, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks for dropping by. Always a pleasure.
Well.
Do you feel any better?
Well, if I hadn't spent about 45 minutes crawling through underneath my mudroom today, crawling through the cat shit, trying to tape up some air barrier seams that my contractor left out, I'd feel really good. But
that's where your cats go. That's where they're fine. They go outside. They're outdoor cats, and you discover...
These are my neighbor's cats.
Oh, that's even worse. Oh.
Yeah, no, these are even my cats.
Well, then...
That makes it smell just a little worse, doesn't it?
So, two things bothered me.
Yeah, it was
yesterday.
Cold out. Yeah. Didn't smell too bad. Good. Kind
lumber,
of frozen.
Lumber yards and cat poo. Thanks,
yeah.
Jesse.
Always.
Fun. Lots of fun. Take care.
Thanks.
That's it for this part of the episode. Be sure to tune in next week for more from the Green Architects Lounge podcast. A quick reminder that our theme music is Zelda's theme from Perez Prado, and that the views and drinking habits of the hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Green Building Advisor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and keep up the good work.